From our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text before us this morning is our gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 5, a continuation of that Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." This is our text. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, our living Lord and Savior, think back to when you were a kid and your parents had some absolutely ridiculous expectations of you. I mean, I remember back in the day, my parents expected us to eat everything off of our plate at every meal. They expected me to clean my room and keep it clean. They expected me to respect them and do as they said all the time. It was expected that I would help with dishes, do the laundry. They expected that I would walk to school 10 miles in 5 feet of snow, uphill both ways. I mean, can you imagine a 10 or 12-year-old having to sweep the kitchen floor after dinner? How ridiculous can that be? Well, if you want to see ridiculous, I would suggest that you take a look at all three lessons in our text for today. You know, last week when I was preaching, I suggested that the whole gospel lesson was full of law. Well, on Monday, when I began preparing for this week's sermon, I looked at all three lessons, and I was very discouraged to see that all three lessons were filled with law. And to help emphasize that a little bit, I underlined in our worship folder today all the statements that are law-oriented. And I took the gospel statements and put them in boldface. And so if you look at your worship folder, you'll see all the underlined stuff, a whole lot of underlining. And you won't see anything that's in boldface. If you really want to see ridiculous, take a look at that gospel lesson for today. Jesus says, as I read a moment ago, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, give him your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." Really? Who in their right mind is going to let somebody slap him twice? And who is going to give up their shirt and their coat even on a warm weekend like this? I mean, who is going to let someone force you to walk as much as 2 miles? And if we don't refuse to loan money to people, pretty soon our bank accounts are going to be empty. I mean, just ask anybody that's won the big lotteries. Friends and relatives come out of the woodwork asking for money after you win the lottery. Last week, we saw Jesus earlier in Matthew 5 give us some pretty difficult instructions. Not only are we not to murder, but we aren't allowed to get angry or insult or call our neighbor names. Not only are we not allowed to get divorced, but we're not allowed to look with somebody with lust in our hearts. And then today, Jesus tells us to let somebody slap us. He tells us if somebody is going to sue us, to give them even more than what he's suing us for. And if someone's going to force us into service, then we should give them even more of our time. And of course, if someone begs for money or goods, Jesus is very clear on this. Do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Who can live up to that? Who's going to live that way? How can we as Christians really follow what Jesus is telling us in that lesson today? Well, that really is just the point. We can't live up to God's instructions. We can't live up to God's expectations. We can't live up to the instructions that Jesus gives us here in Matthew chapter 5. I mean, look at that Old Testament lesson for today. In that Old Testament reading, which I don't have in front of me for some reason, he says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Who of us can be holy? Who of us can keep all the commandments? And then our gospel lesson ends with Jesus telling us, "You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Everybody who's perfect, raise your hand. Oh, better put mine down. You see, we can't even stop ourselves from breaking the smallest commandments. How in the world are we going to live up to what Jesus tells us to do in the text for this week? So earlier this week, after reading through these lessons and pondering them in my head, seeing the lack of gospel that we've got there, I went to Pastor Ganey's office and was lamenting with him about, I don't know how I'm going to preach on this text today. I mean, I had trouble last week with all of the law that was in just the gospel lesson. How am I going to preach on any of these texts? And then Pastor Ganey, the wise gentleman that he is, says to me, "What if you look at those commands rather than being commands, but look at them being examples of ridiculous grace?" And that was an amazing insight into the text. You see, rather than giving commands, Jesus is showing us examples of how we can show grace to our neighbor. If your neighbor slaps you, rather than taking revenge, show him some grace and let him slap you on the other cheek as well. And if your neighbor sues you for your shirt, show him some grace and give him your coat as well. And if we are forced into service and forced to go a mile, why not show your neighbor some grace and go with him 2 miles? He was onto something. What's really interesting is that all of these things that Jesus suggests are things that he did as he was crucified. As Jesus was arrested and tried, he was slapped many, many times, and he never said a word. Not only was he slapped, but he was whipped with a cat of nine tails and given 39 lashes, and he didn't say a word. After he was convicted, Jesus was required to carry his own cross out to Calvary. And he wasn't just forced to go 2 miles, he was forced to go all the way out to Calvary, all the way to his death. And while he was on Calvary, as they prepared to nail him to the cross, they took his robe, leaving him with only a small covering. And they chose lots to see who would get not his cloak, not his shirt, but all of his clothes. So Jesus didn't just suggest examples of how we can show grace to our neighbor, but he followed that example himself. And you know what? That's what separates Christianity from all other religions in the world. Because our God came down here to earth to do everything that he requires us to do. It's not that God just wanted us to be saved and simply told us how to accomplish it, but he came down here in the person of Jesus Christ and he won our salvation for us. I mean, if you want to talk about ridiculous grace, God shows us ridiculous grace by sending his one and only Son to keep all the commandments for us. And as I said last week, Jesus never murdered anybody. Jesus never got angry with anyone. Jesus never called anybody names. Jesus never insulted anyone. Jesus never lusted after anybody. Jesus kept all the commandments for us. And if that wasn't enough, the innocent, perfect, holy, righteous Son of God died on the cross to complete our salvation for us. And so Jesus' words from the cross, "It is finished," are a perfect example of God's grace, his undeserved love for us. You know, we can really thank God that our parents had high expectations for us when we were kids. Because in the end, they just wanted us to grow up and to be good people. And the same thing holds true for God, our Maker and Redeemer. To be sure, he has high expectations for us. He requires us. He wants us to be perfect. But unlike our parents, Jesus himself came down here to earth to be perfect for us. And unlike our parents who punished us left and right, at least in my case, Jesus took our punishment for us. Jesus shows us ridiculous grace in his life, death, and resurrection. And that amazing grace that he shows to us ensures and guarantees that we have a place in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all of our human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.